All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. July 21st. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Woke up to some rain. Feels good, though. It's been so damn hot. But we've been getting a lot of rain. We've had some pretty interesting weather. Feels like when I first moved to this area, I felt like this is sort of how our weather used to be. We used to have these hot days and then followed by rain at the end of the day or thunderstorm that sort of cooled everything off. And we haven't really been like that for a while, but I feel like we're starting to get back into that routine where we have these hot days and thunderstorms. And it's been pretty interesting. The grass has stayed pretty green this year, which is usually obviously a sign that we've had plenty of rain. So it is rainy, but it looks like it'll be clearing up, hopefully. And you know, some people love rain. My wife, oh my God, if we have a night of rain and thunder and lightning, she just thinks that's the most amazing night, right? Looks like it's going to go by us. You know, she gets caught up in it, which is cool. So she was happy this morning, but I do think it's going to clear up and we'll proceed. Yeah, so, you know, last night, I don't know if I shared that we were going to have our, we had like a family night down at the beach last night for the paddle club that I joined. And, you know, it's just, I can't stop thinking how grateful I am for all these cool opportunities that come to me in my life today because I'm sober, right? When I was drinking and using, my whole life was just me and that bottle and all of the bad, sad feelings that sort of went along with it. And it was a very lonely existence, and today it's so cool because, you know, I can join clubs, right? I can be part of groups. I can do things. I can step out of my comfort zone and not die, right? Not implode, right? Because the thought of doing something like that in the past was just like never happening. I would be the guy that'd be like, oh, man, I wish I could paddle, but I'm never going to join, right? I was telling somebody about this or telling somebody this the other day. One of my regrets that I never tried was surfing, right? My ego and my pride never allowed me to go out and try it because I didn't want to fall off, right? I didn't want to be, as a kid, if I couldn't walk out into the ocean with a surfboard, step on that thing and start surfing right away, I really wanted nothing to do with it. Guns N' Roses. What's up, Guns N' Roses? My God. That band used to be, I used to bleed Guns N' Roses, loved Guns N' Roses, loved Axl. Such a great band. So, yeah. But, yeah, it was a, If I couldn't be the best, I wasn't going to try. If I had to do any work, if it didn't just come natural to me, I really didn't feel like putting any work into it. And so, of course, what that left me was just a lot of empty space, right? And a lot of loneliness and not feeling a part of. And, you know, at the time, I'm sure that that fed into, you know, my drinking or behavior or my social behavior. You know, I didn't start off as an alcoholic. I was at a meeting the other day and they said that they shared that they felt like they started drinking alcoholically right away. I did not. And I can look back. I do think this is a disease that it's definitely a disease I have now. I've experienced what it's like to not drink, have a drink, and not be able to stop drinking. Like switches being flipped, right? I have experienced that, but I didn't start off like that. I shared the other day, I wasn't a huge fan of drinking. In fact, what I was a huge fan of was being allowed into the club, right? Being allowed to participate with people that I had always wanted to participate, right? The cool kids. And so alcohol allowed me to do that, but you know, I wasn't a big fan of drinking. But it slowly over time, I started to, you know, get a little worse, right? I remember I used to just drink every once in a while, right? I remember the first time I really met a group of people where I was sort of drinking socially, and we would maybe do that every couple weekends, maybe every weekend, maybe once on a Saturday night, but I definitely wasn't drinking during the week. And then over time, I would incorporate another day, right? A lot of this started as when I was 18, 19, 20. Those first 3 years there really established what kind of drinking I was going to do. But I was hanging out with a bunch of guys that liked to party. So, you know, it went from one weekend a month to 2 weekends a month to maybe every weekend, and then started to incorporate a weekday. And it was just sort of like that for a while. Even after leaving New Mexico, going to California, you know, I would go out and drink on weekends. That's when I started to drink my mom's wine, right? And started to make these sort of wine cooler drinks. Really, it was just wine and any other beverage that I can mix with it. But that's when I really started to drink alone, right? I didn't have, you know, I'd left New Mexico with a big group of friends and moved out to San Diego, and I had no friends. And so I just started to rely on me and the bottle. And so drinking my mom's wine at home by myself, and still going out on weekends, and but just to start really medicating, I guess, myself at that time. I know I was in a relationship out in New Mexico. That relationship had ended. Moved to California. Sad, right? Even though you know it's over, it's still, you know, it's still a bummer. So I started, I think, to drink away that pain, but that would really be the beginning of my consumption, right? My higher consumption. And then all of a sudden, you know, and obviously the whole time I'm smoking pot and doing different, you know, little drugs here and there, but then starting to get into doing the speed and stuff, that would be the accelerator. It accelerated everything because, you know, I started doing speed, and then I started using alcohol as a tool to, you know, adjust my high and lows, right? I mean, you get really going on that stuff, and you know, if you have a few drinks, it sort of can mellow you out. And so it started to play a role in my life in that way. But you know, this whole time just really being around people doing the same thing, but at the same time being so lonely. And you know, in the end, and however many years it took, finally moving to Delaware, losing that drug, that main drug that I was doing out in California, which I'm so grateful for. But that's really 1994. February 94 is when I finally ended up in Delaware, and that is when the drinking really started, because everything I had done, every habit that I had created, every relationship up until this point, all finally came to a head in Delaware, and all of it was gone. You know, all of my friends from New Mexico, all of my friends from California, everything that I had ever done, they were all gone, and it was just me and a bottle of vodka. And that, from 94 to 97, is when I just dove into drinking every day. I replaced every relationship, every drug that I had done on a daily basis, and put it all into alcohol and started doing that every day. And I didn't even like doing that, right? I just did it. It became a habit, and I didn't realize the power of alcohol. I knew that, like, it had no power because I wanted to drink it. I wanted to use it. I wanted it to be part of that world, so it didn't really have a lot of power at that time. It's when I was trying to leave that world. It's when I was trying to put that behind me and start off onto a new world of sobriety and trying to understand what a program and how a program works in my life. Starting to understand that, would be a whole new journey. But, you know, I was going to read this. This is out of As Bill Sees It. I thought this was interesting. It says, page 90. To watch loneliness vanish. Almost without exception, alcoholics are tortured by loneliness. Even before our drinking got bad and people began to cut us off, nearly all of us suffered the feeling that we didn't quite belong. Either we were shy and dared not draw near others, or we were noisy good fellows constantly craving attention and companionship, but rarely getting it. There was always the mysterious barrier we could neither surmount nor understand. That's one reason we loved alcohol too well. But even Bacchus behavior, or no, even Bacchus betrayed us. Bacchus betrayed us. We were finally struck down and left in terrified isolation. Life takes on new meanings in AA. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see fellowships grow up about you, to have a host of friends. This is an experience not to be missed. And I agree, right? I think that's why, I didn't recognize this at the time, but when I came into the program, immediately it was like, you need to do 90 meetings in 90 days. You need to get a temporary sponsor. And as a person that was doing this, I was paying attention, right? Because coming out of the life that I had come out of, I was just like this infant, right? I had no idea. I didn't know how to have honest relationships. I didn't know how to greet people, right? Because I was so lonely, right? I was so afraid, and this disease had put me there, right? And I had no one to talk about it with, and I had no idea that I should talk about it. I didn't even realize I was having this issue. I had become so used to this state of loneliness and sadness and fear that I just sort of thought this was my life and this is how life was. And when I started coming to a program and started to meet people for the first time and started to become part of something, right? I never was involved in after school programs. I was never a part of any groups. I did play soccer and I did play baseball, but that was it. And so I had really spent the big portion of the beginning of my life just an outsider, right? And so but always wanting to be inside, right? Always wanting to be part of the group. And, when you do a 90 and 90, you eventually start to meet people over and over, right? And I see people doing 90 and 90s, and I always try to make sure I say hi, and I watch people come in who are just like me, lonely and full of fear. And you can see the transition start to change. And I didn't, the crazy thing is I didn't realize how lonely and sad and full of fear and self that I was. And so when I started working the program and I started to see these things, I'm like, wow, that's an issue, right? That's a thing. And, 90 meetings in 90 days, working with a temporary sponsor, you start to lose that loneliness. You start to feel part of, right? And I think as in the beginning, it does, that pink cloud, we're not only just meeting people and being part of, but we're also, for me at least, I'm pushing through these small moments of fear, like to ask somebody to be my sponsor, right? To be a greeter, right? To make coffee, to, when you're standing around after a meeting, somebody asks you something and you answer, right? 100 voices in our head are like, we have nothing to say, right? But we want to be part of the group. And so we start to become part of it. And the loneliness starts to disappear. And I started having a life beyond my wildest dreams just right early on in the program. This is always what I had wanted, to have relationships with people and not be in the bottle. And it was just amazing. And today it's just, you know, I do this. We went, I can tell you back in the day, there's no chance in hell I would have joined a paddle club, right? Like I just said, I always had this regret that I never learned how to surf. You know, the disease, and I don't even know why. You would think this disease would like, go be an awesome surfer. I'll help you. Be awesome. It'll help our ego. It'll help our pride. I don't understand sometimes why, you know, I can understand my disease not wanting me to raise my hand or work with another alcoholic or, you know, try to open my mind on a relationship with a higher power. I can understand that. But I don't understand why this disease doesn't want me to do cool things, right? Go learn how to surf, right? Be awesome at it. I'm sure it'll get you into more trouble later on in life. I don't understand how it works, but that is a regret that I never learned how to surf. I started to think about trying to learn a couple years ago, but I was still, you know, I just don't want to. There are certain things I just don't want to struggle through, right? I either just want to either be good at it right away or not do it at all. And the nice thing about paddling is that I can slowly learn and become better because I'm working with a group, another group of five people that will carry me a little bit, right? As I get better, just like this program, you know, that's the nice thing is once we, you know, decide we do want to get sober and we are interested and we do become part of a group, you know, until we learn, the group will carry us. Good orderly direction, right? A group of drunks, God, right? And so it's sort of like paddling, you know, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, but I'm going to be here and I'm going to slowly pay attention and I'm going to learn. And we start to learn the jargon and some of the phrases, and it doesn't take long being sober, working a program that you're not available to start giving a person that with less time a little bit of advice. And I always say the advice is go to a meeting, don't drink, and work with a sponsor. And just like I say in this podcast, listen, I am no expert. These are just my struggles. If you're having any challenges, talk to your sponsor, right? Read the big book. People used to say, what step are you working on? Right? What step are you working on? And, you know, I think being fearful like that to me is a character defect. I could draw that. If I drew a caricature of myself, I could incorporate that character defect into the animation or to the caricature. And it would be a person that was constantly frightened, always afraid, never good enough. You know, when I was young, I wanted to be in a band and I would learn guitar, but I just didn't want to put myself out there too far because I didn't want to feel embarrassed or ashamed. So that led me from, or that kept me from, you know, becoming good at anything. You know, I remember as a kid learning guitar, and I would only learn enough guitar until you recognized the song. And then I was ready to go on to the next song. Like, I just wanted to live in this ecstasy moment, right? Is that breaking the law? Yep, next song. Like, I didn't want to learn the middle, and I didn't want to learn the end. I only wanted to learn the glory, right? I only wanted to learn the part that everybody recognized. I just wanted recognition over and over and over, right? I didn't want to be the guy that learned the middle. I didn't want to be the guy that learned the end. I only wanted to be the guy that learned the beginning. And that's sort of, you know, how my whole life has been. And this program has taught me how to recognize that, right? How to be better and not be so full of fear. And I mean, fear to me, this just creates loneliness. And it's sad. You know, I always say, if I'm going to get sober, if I'm going to put down all that bullshit, I might as well fucking make my life better, right? I might as well start to work on it. And, you know, I shared in the meeting the other day, and I've shared in this podcast many times, there is more to sobriety. There's serenity. I don't know why we don't talk about that. It's so crazy. We don't talk about the devil and we don't talk about serenity. All we talk about is higher power and sobriety. And some people classify sobriety as every great thing that comes with the life of putting down, you know, whatever we were drinking, right? Anything, any life, right, without drinking is good enough. And I agree. But at the same time, I don't agree because eventually, you know, all these new feelings, right, this new life, being part of a group, not being on the outside, being accepted in, you're full of amazing feelings. I can't believe my life is so great. I'm I'm doing all the things I had wished, but they start to fade away, right? They start to fade away, and that's where you have to keep working, and you have to have some serenity in life where you're like, hey, that's cool. I can work through this, right? Because one day it does, that old disease comes a-knocking, and just when we least expect it. And that's why I say, you know, serenity for me is the foundation that when that disease does start to try to erode it away, you know, I have a strong platform, and I hopefully can weather the storm, right? Because when it comes, and you're not expecting it. You know, looking back at my time in the East, and I look back and I go, man, that was pretty obvious what was about to happen. But at the time, it wasn't. I think maybe the disease didn't want me to recognize what was happening. The disease wanted me to think that I was headed in the right direction, which was that I had successfully figured out how to beat alcoholism, and now I should be able to drink and manage it. That didn't happen. That did not happen. So it's there's a lot of great stuff, man. I was going to read the Daily Reflections. And then I got to go to work. Is this happening in any other people's lives? Do people recognize this change? Were you a lonely person? Did you realize you were lonely, right? Is it going away? Right? Are you feeling better? I hope so. Let's see. July 21st. By this time, in all probability, we have gained some measure of release from our more devastating handicaps. We enjoy moments in which there is something like real peace of mind. Yeah. To those of us who have hitherto known only excitement, depression, or anxiety, in other words, to all of us, this newfound peace is a priceless gift. Yep. 12 steps, 12 traditions. I am learning to let go and let God, to have a mind that is open and a heart that is willing to receive God's grace in all my affairs. In this way, I can experience the peace and freedom that comes as a result of surrender. It has been proven that an act of surrender originating in desperation and defeat can grow into an ongoing act of faith, and that faith means freedom and victory. Yeah, absolutely. You know, it has been proven that an act of surrender originating in desperation and defeat can grow into an ongoing act of faith, and faith that means freedom and victory. You know, I don't know what brings people in this program. For me, it's always been ego devastation, complete humiliation, which sort of feels like that desperation and defeat. That's exactly what had happened to me that night. And for some reason, that seems to be this disease's kryptonite, you know, complete humiliation. At that point, it doesn't seem like the disease knows what to do with us and just sort of takes a walk around the park, because that was when I had the opportunity to find some clarity and make a decision to try to get sober. It's not, that option isn't always around. You know, when I was in my drinking, man, I had no windows opening for me to jump through, right? It never happened. I definitely had some humiliating, ego-devastating moments, but back in those days, I wasn't aware. Back in those days, I wasn't trying to get sober. You know, I had no desire. I really enjoyed the chaos and the shit show that I was in back in those days. And I think that is unfortunately, one of the issues with getting sober is some people just enjoy the shit. I know I did. My life was a fucking mess back in those days, especially when I got busted for drugs. That exposed some of the craziest side of this disease. I mean, I literally would have to go to court. You would think when you have to go to court, you would choose to refrain from doing drugs and alcohol. But man, I went to court high. I couldn't stop. I mean, not only could I not, you know, have these moments where I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to go to court. I probably shouldn't get high this morning. Those didn't even exist. I was like, for some reason, I felt like no one would know. That's how unmanageable my life was back in those days. And so, you know, oh, man, it's just so grateful today to be sober and wanting to be sober. And luckily, I've gotten all of that out of my system. I do think some people haven't quite gotten it all out of their system, haven't quite been beat up enough, right? Unfortunately, you know, some black eyes and some bent fenders and some sad relationships, they start piling up, right? And I always believe I had to go through everything that I went through. I'm not sure that there's not still more for me to go through. I'm hoping not. I'll be at a meeting tonight, right? I love being sober. I love being available. I'm working with some other people right now, which I think is fantastic. I'm always trying to work with someone, but, you know, it's just, I love to see, you know, other people start to find this gift that I've been given, right? This amazing moment that I never thought was available, and here it is. And if I can share it with other people, I've said before, I don't know if I'm a great sponsor. I was talking to a friend of mine who's, you know, was, I forget what the situation, but they'd already worked the steps, right? They'd already been sat down and worked, gone through the steps. I don't really know. See, my problem is that part of me wants to be the guy that's like, listen, let me tell you a bunch of stuff that you can avoid. If you can just do these things, you can avoid a lot of bullshit, but you can't do that. You know, we have to go through it. I had to go through everything that I went through to help me to get to this point. You know, no, there's no cut the line. And so I don't know how to, like, just sit back and let them sort of figure it out. I'm not, you know, I try to lead by example, I guess, really not by, because to me, this is, it's all pretty, for me at least, it's all pretty simple. I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility, which means I am the great I am, and I don't have God in my life. That's my character defects right there, right? It's all about me, and when it's all about me, it's hard to put anybody else ahead of that. And when I don't have any fear and I don't have any humility in my life, I don't recognize it, right? And so, like today, if something happens, you know, the humility in me, it doesn't set well. I try to be... I'm a person heading towards sobriety, not away from it. I like to find myself feeling like I'm holding the hand of God. And whenever something happens that affects that relationship, it's just like any relationship, right? It's like being married. You know, there's certain things, every once in a while something will happen in my life, my wife will be like, I'm not comfortable with that. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And so we have to make an adjustment. You know, that's what a relationship with the higher power is. You know, you start to feel you'll do something and it won't set well with you, right? Maybe it's not the worst thing, right? Maybe it's a 10% of bad behavior, but it still doesn't feel well. And so, you know, we start to feel, and maybe that's the conversation, right? Maybe our conversation with the higher power takes place in our gut, right? In our soul, maybe there aren't words, right? I remember... One of the more fascinating things I've watched lately was about how, I don't know, a scientist or whatever, but he believes that there's this natural communication that we have in all people and animals and things, and it takes place before the mouth, right? It takes place in the brain, but before the mouth says the words, right? And there's some, you know, translation that goes from brain to mouth that allows it to come out so that another human can understand it, right? But what happens if there was this communication that, like they say, that takes place before the mouth, that's universal? You know, maybe that doesn't have words. I don't know. It sounds a little weird, but, you know, maybe that conversation, that relationship that we have with the higher power takes place in a feeling, in our core. Because I can tell you, when things aren't going well and when mistakes are made, that's where I feel it, in my spirit. Ooh, right? There's no, hey, man, God here, just want to point out that was not a smart move. You should have kept your mouth shut, whatever, whatever. I don't hear that. I feel this twisting, turning feeling in my stomach. And, you know, I can pretty much create the words. You fucked up. You need to make an amends. You need to clean this up right now. Maybe that's the relation. Maybe that's the conversation, right? Maybe I've searched high and low for this conversation, and I've been feeling it the whole time. I don't know. But listen, hey, I got to go to work. I don't know if any of that made sense. I just wanted to come and chat. shoot the breeze. I hope everyone's having a great day. I hope everyone's staying sober. And if you're not, just keep trying, right? Just keep on trying. Yeah, we're here. We're waiting for you. All right, everyone have a great day. Later. Locomotive, got to feel the bitch off my back.